What's up, Beardos? You're listening to an impossibly irresistible bonus episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't really answer the question first try. Not answering the question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. You can always reach us by emailing thebeardvegans@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about what we've been eating, then talk about what half of the vegan world has been eating, and the other half is very vocally not eating.
That's right, Paul. Every time we think we're out, they pull us in for one last job talking about the Impossible Burger.
Yes, something that we've talked about plenty of times before, but Andy, as we will get into, I've been ramped up about this. In a moment of rare, I guess, aggro-ness, I've been furiously Facebook posting and we'll talk about that, but yes, we are talking about the Impossible Whopper.
You wouldn't like Paul when he's aggro. He uses the word heck in sentences twice as much.
Yes, Andy. I figured this would be a good bonus episode because a few people have been asking us our personal opinions about the Impossible Whopper, and boy, do I have them. So more so, I suggested this to Andy as, hey, Andy, I think that we should do this because I want to talk about it.
I'm expecting Paul to literally explode or at least die from like a forehead vein bursting.
Thanks. And of course, if you're listening to this, because this is a bonus episode, that means you support us on the Patreon. So we want to send a heartfelt thank you to everyone who is supporting us. And this is the first episode, the first bonus episode or regular episode we are recording on some new equipment. And hopefully you'll notice a sensual difference in our voices. It's not because we ourselves got any sexier, it's because we got some sexy new microphones.
Speak for yourself, Paul.
But yes, we were able to get some new equipment and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I feel like we're little children on Christmas morning because we finally like really upgraded some equipment, and I think we might even have another upgrade or two in our near future as well. But it's exciting to actually be able to invest in the podcast because it's so rare that we actually spend money on the podcast, and like we've never spent money on ourselves or anything. So yeah, this is like our treat yourself day.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm most excited about it, Andy, is that it's going to allow us, because I'm sure very few people even care about this or have noticed, but we use different setups when we're recording in person and we're recording separately, and this is going to allow us to have a much more consistent setup no matter where we are, so that the quality will hopefully maintain consistent throughout. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So thank you to everybody.
So Andy, before we get into the Impossible Whopper talk, I want to know, what have you been eating?
Paul, you know, we're in the middle of our break. We're real bad at not actually taking a break and still like recording all these bonus things. We're gonna record like three episodes today,
yes.
So look forward to the other two coming soon. But I've actually been eating a ton of really good and interesting food that would be noteworthy and would have made it into a regular episode's food recommendation. And since I can't do that, since we've pre-recorded those episodes, today I'm just gonna take the time to rave about the first all-vegan ice cream shop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, called Sugar Spell Scoops. Mm-hmm. The old triple S there. And this place, it's only open on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe. And it's 100% vegan. And they make four flavors a day, from what I can tell. And it's all cashew-based. And it is phenomenal. So I walked in there and cute little shop. Looked at the flavors. I would say three of them seemed very standard to me. Like it was like a chocolate peanut butter and things of that nature. And what immediately caught my eye was a flavor called Blue Moon. Do you know what that flavor is, Paul?
It sounds like a IPA, like a beer or something.
Yeah. Well, I was like, what is this? Like spirulina, blue algae, like something or other. And I guess this is a flavor that other people like know about. I think it must be regional. But I asked, what's going on with that Blue Moon? And I was told that it's like a lemon pound cake flavor. And you know, I'm a citrusy dessert fan. And they were like, would you like a sample? I was like, I don't need a sample. I want that flavor right now. So I got it on a sugar cone, which I love, and then got it with these like sprinkles. They had like a vast array of fun looking sprinkles and chocolate chips and marshmallows and stuff to put on it. I got these like, they look like sugar sand, like blue.
It's, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's a beautiful photo that you can find on our Instagram. And so I went outside and took a couple pics and then tasted it. And I was just blown away by the flavor. Mm. It was like exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And the texture I thought was phenomenal. It was amazing. It was so creamy. It was rich. It was just perfect. And I'm like, I probably should have sampled those other flavors, because even though they weren't the most like exotic, interesting mix-ins or anything like that, I bet they were done very, very well. So I'm excited. Like I would give them one trophy, Paul, on our food list.
Ooh, I was excited because I was like, oh, Andy's somewhere in Pennsylvania and he posted this cool thing that I'm going to be able to have. No, just kidding. It's in Pittsburgh, like 7 hours away from me.
Sucker.
But I, you know, Andy, I too had an interesting and awesome ice cream experience recently. But I'm going to save that for the main episode. It's main episode worthy.
Oh, damn. Well, I didn't mean to devalue Sugar Spell Scoops by putting them in a bonus episode. I was just so excited. I wanted to talk about them right away. But yeah, also did a little trip to Apteca, my old fave.
I know, I got
double trophy winner on our food recommendation mm-hmm. list.
TheBeardedVegans.com/food, lowercase food.
Okay, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So since you're going to rob us of your ice cream talk,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Impossible Whopper. This is, as you mentioned, you brought this to me.
Yes.
And, you know, I was thinking, oh, wow. It's like, Paul, of course it happens in the month that we are taking off, essentially, and we pre-record a bunch of episodes where this, I guess, predictably controversial event happened, which was that the Burger King Impossible Whopper dropped into the universe and everyone and their mom had an opinion about it. And I was thinking, what more could we possibly have to say about this? We've done several episodes on the moral conundrum of them testing on animals and revised our position on that and talked about sort of the company in general and them serving me cheese mm-hmm. secretly or not so secretly. What more could we possibly have to say? What additional issues could people possibly bring up? Like, I get that people have their feelings about this being offered at Burger King and whatnot, but really, could there really be a whole host of new issues that come along with this? And boy, was I wrong, Paul.
And you know, it's funny, Andy, because the Impossible Burger has been getting this over the last 2 years, this like slow rollout, and now it's starting to be more, you know, it became available at White Castle maybe a year or so ago. It did not get this was not the reception. I'm sure there were certainly people posting about this kind of stuff, but not to this extent. This is like the apocalypse for some people.
Well, I do believe that some of that may stem from the fact that White Castle does in fact use a separate cooking surface, correct?
I believe you're right, yes.
Yeah, and that seems like that's the biggest point of contention. So let's like set the scene here for people.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not on Facebook, bless your soul.
Don't get on
Paul,
that.
I don't know what it is, because literally anytime someone posts about the Whopper, the Impossible Whopper, and I know what's coming in the comments, and I still sit there and read every single one of them growing enraged. Like the state of like, more so than any of the particular issues that people have, some of which I think are incredibly justified, the state of discourse around this issue, which we will lay out in a second, makes me so sad at humanity. Mm-hmm. It makes me so just not hopeful for the future of our planet, and the especially because this is happening amongst the group that is supposed to consider themselves like the enlightened ones, you know? Yeah. So, Paul.
Oh, and India, let me tell you, there's plenty of people who think they're the enlightened ones on these Facebook groups.
So let's lay this out. What have you seen people raising a stink about in regards to this Impossible Whopper?
Well, let me tell you the things that I don't want to discuss in this podcast. I don't care about microwaves, Andy, because people are discussing the merits of whether or not we should microwave things, not in terms of cross-contamination, just microwaves themselves.
In terms of food quality? Because I'm with them there.
Just in terms of, I don't know, people are against microwaves, and I don't care about that.
I'll say this about it, though. The thought of eating a microwave burger seems very sad to me.
A lot of people are for it, and a lot of people are against it, but not for your reasons. I feel like
for culinary reasons or cross-contamination reasons?
People are for it.
Because they're like, that's nothing sets off the flavor of a burger like a nice 3 minutes in the microwave.
So I don't want to talk about microwaves. I also don't want to talk about the nutritional content of the burger, which in fact, I actually, in addition to being discussed amongst Facebook groups, I get like CNN breaking news, banners sent to me on my phone. And there was one for, it was like breaking news. How does the Impossible Burger compare to regular flesh burgers? It's not how they phrased it. That's how I'm phrasing it. And it was like, you know, it was a, I cannot blame them for putting in a clickbaity title. It was something like, think you're eating healthy with the Impossible Burger? You might like be surprised with what you find out. And the result was basically, it's slightly healthier than a normal, than a regular burger, but not that much healthier. That was the conclusion. But there are tons of people who are saying why you shouldn't eat this because it's bad for you. And I don't care about that.
Are you trying to tell me that food from a fast food place isn't healthy food, Paul? That is full of oil and fat and sugar.
But also, I know I just said I didn't want to talk about this, Andy, but you know that, like,
Here we go.
Like, people are railing against this, but it's like, cool, if you don't want to live this life of eating things that are high in sodium or high in fat, whatever. But it's like, you can't just say, this is the, like, oh, I'm not going to eat these processed foods, blah, 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 blah. If you eat peanut butter regularly, you're also eating something that's very high in fat. If you eat a cupcake regularly, you know, you're also eating something that's high in sugar, high in fat. It's like, this is not the only food that's exclusively like this. I feel like,
I bet a lot of those people do avoid cupcakes and peanut butter, Paul.
I don't know. It just seems like
peanut butter cupcake. Double whammy.
Yeah, seriously. But it just seems like
double whopper.
It just seems like a lot of people want to hone in on this thing. And I mean, this actually like crosses all the reasons why people are bringing this up, but it really just seems like people want to hone in on this thing and they forget that any other food exists that falls into this category of things that they're railing against, you know, because the other big reasons, the two whopping reasons why people are bringing this up are the fact of the cross-contamination.
Nice.
And thank you. And then the animal testing. Those are the two big things, Andy. Yeah. And honestly, I would rather spend more of my time talking about the cross-contamination, because the animal testing thing, it's like, certainly it's terrible that it happened, and certainly I don't agree with it, but we already did a whole one or two or three podcast episodes about that before, and yeah. I feel like, I don't know if this is exactly what I said back then, so maybe I have changed my tune a little bit, but I'm at this point where I'm kind of like, it is nearly impossible for me, Andy's freaking at me, to avoid any food that was that has gone through some FDA testing process in which animals were used. And I'm not trying to like justify that happening, but it's just the sad reality of I'm living in 2019 and this is how food gets produced. And of course there are companies who continue to avoid those sorts of things. Like Tofurky is my shining star as a company that like actively doesn't participate in these things. And of course I want to give the biggest props to them, but it's things like, I'm not letting you talk, Andy. It's things like canola oil and pea protein and caffeine and all these things where it's like, yes, I could live a life where I'm avoiding all of these things, but it would probably be very difficult and unfulfilling for me. And I would much rather spend my time like being angry and upset at the FDA and how their proceedings work and how they are forcing companies or at least pressuring companies to do these things if they want the chance for bigger exposure. I'd rather spend my time upset at that than choose one specific item and be like, no, I'm only going to be upset at this one. These people aren't railing against the canola oil industry, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that the conclusion that you just sort of summarized right there is where we landed, generally speaking, after we did our revisiting the ethics of the Impossible Burger episode. But I will say, Paul,
Okay.
I didn't think we were going to talk about the animal testing at all because I feel like we've been over that. But the argument that all these other things were tested on animals, I don't know if I really feel like that holds up. Or I guess the specific argument is, but that was like done and Impossible came and then chose to do it. So comparing pea protein, which was tested like a long while ago, to something that Impossible chose to like bring up and test right now, to me, I don't really feel like it's an equal comparison. However, the reason why I want to say okay with it, but the reason why it makes me, that aspect of it doesn't cause me to not consume the Impossible Burger, is because I ask myself, the next company that comes along 6 months from now and uses the heme, which was tested, are they ethically in the clear because they didn't personally conduct the testing? And I feel like I couldn't ethically justify boycotting the Impossible Burger and being okay with whatever the next company is.
The Unbelievable Burger?
Exactly. You know, whatever it is that comes along, I guess I can't in my head be like, yeah, it makes sense for me to not eat the Impossible. But since there's like this 1 degree of separation because the Impossible, you know, it took the hit, basically took the ethical hit, and then opened up the door for all these other companies to then use the heme, which, you know, I've seen people saying, well, they didn't need to use that. There's thousands of burgers out there that don't use it. And so much of what we do, Paul, can only be wild speculation. And one of the things we started to get at is, you know, of course, one product does not cause animal liberation. One product, even being in McDonald's, does not cause that. But what if whatever it is, something about the Impossible Whopper, and maybe it's the burger in general, maybe it's just that they have really good marketing and really good inroads and really good connections, but clearly it has the magic sauce that has put it in not just Burger King, but all these other places. Did you know that Cheeburger, which is like right next to the place we get the tofu, they have an Impossible Burger?
Really?
I've heard.
I didn't know that.
I've heard they have Impossible and Beyond.
Huh.
All these places that I would just assume would never have a meaty vegan burger do. And chefs are opening up to that like nothing else. And so the question is then like, okay, well, maybe that they didn't need that ingredient, but maybe they did. Maybe that is what opened up the door. And I guess then the argument is, but do we need this one burger? Is this one burger really going to change things? And like right now, it feels like it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I have seen reports that say it's generally not existing Burger King customers that are now purchasing the Impossible. It's new people coming in to buy it. But I don't know. I've just seen a lot of people, and we're in our vegan bubble. I've seen a lot of people that are not vegan posting about it and saying that it's good.
I've also seen a lot of people posting that they saw other people buying it while they were buying it as well.
Yeah, well, I had that happen on my drive last night home from the incredibly exhausting DC Veg Fest. I was like, I don't even have time to go to like New Vegan or something. I can just pull off the highway and get this Whopper. And I was in the drive-thru lane and I could hear the orders from the two people in front of me, and they both ordered the Whopper. Mm-hmm. And neither of them got it without the mayonnaise. So that leads me to believe that, well, obviously they're not vegan, but I guess some would say none of them are vegan, but you know, obviously they're not vegan. So they're either vegetarians or they're just people that are like, oh, I'm curious about this thing. I want to get it.
Yeah.
And I've had it a few times, Paul. And one of the other times I heard someone like asking like, what is the Impossible Burger? And the employee over the drive-thru was not super articulate about what it was, but people were like, oh, what is this thing? Cause it's just kind of on the menu. Like they have the thing that says 100%
Burger,
0% beef or whatever.
Yeah.
But it does just look like, oh, what did they put on the Whopper? Did they put on jalapeno poppers? You know, like it just makes it seem like it's a Whopper that has some extra ingredients on it, which is like the Southwestern Whopper or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I guess to what I'm trying to say is it has made these inroads, and that's something we'll only know with time. Is this a flash in a pan, a big economic boost for Burger King, and then it's going to die off? Or is this going to make vegan eating, or at least plant-based eating, more accessible for a lot more people? Is it just going to make it easier for vegans that are currently vegan to stay vegan? These are all things that we'll only really know with time. But I think that the fact that we're seeing this burger in so many places, It speaks to something. It speaks to some dilemma that's like, maybe they didn't need it, but guess what? This is where we're at right now. And how do we deal with that as vegans? Do we, when people that are not vegan and they post about it and that it's good, how do we react in a Facebook comment thread? There I go. Brought it back to the topic.
and Andy, I do just want to say also, because I feel like this, it goes without saying, but I want to say it. No one has to, like, we are not saying, or I'm not saying, and I think you are also not saying, no one has to, we're not saying go out and eat this burger right now. If you find these things objectionable, if you say, man, that testing really makes me uncomfortable and I would not want to eat it because of that, I don't blame you for that. And that's fine.
Yeah.
If you say to yourself, man, cross-contamination is really gross, and even the burger just bumping against another patty really grosses me out, that's completely fine. And you don't have to go out and eat that. And like, do your own thing. What we are saying is, for these reasons that we're talking about and that we're going to talk about, especially with the cross-contamination, don't poo-poo other people for eating it.
Well, and I guess, Paul, also on the flip side, I do want to say that I also know a lot of people who embrace the impossible and almost like flaunt it, like screw you vegan police kind of thing. And I do think, like, out of respect for the animals that did die for this, and out of just like to not minimize the fact that animals were harmed in the creation, I also think it's in poor taste for people to like really flaunt and be like, look what I'm getting. Guess I'm not a real vegan kind of thing. Even though I get the human instinct to sort of push back against the people that we or people I'm, you know, sort of bringing up here, you know, it's like natural for us to be like, that's kind of silly and ridiculous, and I want to push back against it. But I also think I do think it's in bad form to like celebrate the burger in a way that acts as if the harm it has caused is negligible or not important at all. Because I do think that it is. And like the way that I generally consume the Impossible Burger is not one that's like, I'm celebrating this thing and like, it's so great these rats died. And if you think that that's something, then screw you, because you're just silly. You don't see the big picture. Like, I don't find that point of view helpful either.
For sure. I agree. I understand from a, like, I feel like sociological internet perspective, I understand where it's coming from, because the progression of these posts is a lot of like, wow, look how excited I am to get this thing. Not because of, like, not gloating about it, but just like genuine excitement about the availability.
Yeah.
And then tons of backlash, and then there's the backlash against that, which some of which is what you're saying, Andy, which is that, so yes, it certainly is trying to get back at the people who are, in my opinion, spouting nonsense, but but at the same time, yes.
Is that your professional
opinion? That's my professional opinion. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
From an actual professor?
Not yet. But maybe never. But you are correct that it is not helpful. It's not helpful, period. It's not good discourse. It's not. And like you said, it seems sort of disrespectful for that other reason as well.
Yeah. So before we talk about, we haven't like really even gotten to like what the issues are. Like, I guess that's us addressing the testing thing, because I'm sure people are going to want to know. And I, you know, whenever people bring it up, I'm like, listen to episode 137. Is it ethical to give non-vegan ice cream to a crying child? Because we have a long discussion in there. But I'm glad to have like a little bit more like an updated summation of our kind of feelings on how we look at that, even though this is behind the paywall and only 200 people will hear it. But we're also, Paul, we're one away from 200 patrons.
Ooh, very exciting. That's exciting.
So, okay, Paul, I want to talk about the cross-contamination. Before that, I want to talk about more like, I don't want to call them minor annoyances, but I'm going to say that they're not as much of an issue to dive into as much as it is just people being silly and not doing research. Mm-hmm. So
I know where this is going.
There's a few things that fall under this category. The first of which is these weird, like, gotcha things. So I'm going to lead up to where you think I'm going.
Okay.
And the first is people saying, but the mayonnaise isn't vegan. And like, I've seen people bring that up as if it's like a gotcha to vegans, as if you can't easily remove a single ingredient, you know, a component of the meal. It's like a really weird thing to me, because I'll see people like list off other things that we're gonna bring up, and then they'll throw that in there as well. And mayonnaise isn't vegan. And it to me, it's, I don't understand why anyone thinks that that is like helpful to bring up. Like, people don't understand how like ordering fast food works at all. Like, you can Burger King apparently has an app now, just like Taco Bell, where you can like put in your order in advance.
In the same breath that someone says, but the mayonnaise isn't vegan, they will also say, yeah, and you can also just go to Taco Bell, get a number 6, sub out beef, no cheese, add lettuce, sub tomatoes, no cilantro.
Exactly. And so I've seen people saying, you have to order it without the mayo and without cheese. And I'm like, a Whopper does not come with cheese.
Don't you know your Burger King lore?
I mean, I don't know. It's just like, even like people that are like very pro the Whopper, they're like, make sure you order without cheese and mayonnaise. And I'm just, to me, it just speaks to this culture of people not knowing things and like, like learning things and researching things. Not that that's like a super hard thing to like research or know, but it just, to me, that's like this canary in the coal mine, to use a very non-vegan phrase, about the fact that it feels like no one knows what they're talking about. And I'm sure there's tons of stuff that we miss, even in regards to this discussion. And granted, we have a podcast that requires us to like actually research and like know things. But, and I posted this on our Facebook page, but a friend of mine posted the article from the Hard Times that said something along the lines of like, man with half the facts in heated debate with man with zero facts. And their addition was like literally every comment about the Impossible Whopper right now. And I just like watched this happen, and I'm like, this person that's arguing with the other person doesn't even know that cheese doesn't come on this burger.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just like, how can anyone feel like they're arguing from a place of authority if they don't even know what ingredients come on the burger?
Yeah.
I don't know why that just annoys me so much. There are people instructing people on how to make it vegan. And I'm wondering if like the Burger King employee is like, yeah, you know, every time someone's like, yeah, no mayonnaise, no cheese, they're just like, you fool, it doesn't come with cheese, you know, like, I don't know, something about that just really gets to the heart of people just being incredibly uninformed, yet still willing to throw themselves deeply into a debate about the topic.
And I also feel it's tangentially related to the internet discourse of people unwilling to Google things to see if they're even like things that are very easily Googleable, just unwilling to do so.
Do you have an example, Paul?
Is the bun vegan?
So, Paul, literally every time I see someone ask, like, post about this, someone says, are the buns vegan? And maybe it's just me reading into it, but the tone is, I'm the first person to think of this question, and thank God I'm here to save the day and bring up the fact that the buns might possibly not be vegan. You know, when you have like, and granted, there's a lot of vegan news outlets out there that don't double check things or whatever, but you have so many people promoting this thing as being entirely plant-based if you lose the mayo.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden someone's like, yeah, but is the bun vegan? And something about that is just like, any fast food place, any major chain restaurant has a menu and a list of ingredients and allergens available to you online.
And granted, there are like chemically ingredients in it, but there are no, but like you said, you would hope that they would also include contains milk, contains eggs or something like that. If that was in one of the like chemically type ingredients.
Yeah. And the thing is that there's plenty of websites out there where people are like, what's vegan at Taco Bell? What's vegan at Papa John's? Like, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's just like you can get a bun with lettuce and this and that. And there's like people and groups, nonprofits and just like individuals that do this for shits, I guess, that have like double checked all of this stuff. It's very easy to find out. And yet people just throw this comment into the world as if like, oh, did anybody think of this, that the bun might not be vegan? And I feel like such a old man yelling at cloud right now, but it's so annoying to me to see the same comments repeated over and over and over and over again, stuff that people could type is the bun at Burger King vegan into Google and have an answer instead of throwing it into a Facebook debate.
Yeah.
Whether it's a genuine question or like a gotcha thing, you know, either way, it's like you could have an answer quicker than it would take someone to respond on Facebook, even if someone immediately responded.
Do you know the, like, let me Google that for you?
Yes. Love. It's so condescending, so I rarely use it. Yeah. But I also just want to, like, tattoo that on my forehead.
For those of you that are uninformed, there's this website where you can, it lets you send a link to someone that you pre-type in what you want to Google, and when they open up the link, it opens up Google and types it in for them, and then it clicks and then click search. It is very condescending, but
it's the best thing ever. People think we're jerks. But I'm sure everyone listening can probably relate to that. And you know, there are some things, Paul, where it's like, it's nice to have like the community response. Like, there are some things that aren't like a fact, or you want an opinion, who's the best chiropractor you've been to or whatever. Like, you can Google best chiropractor and you'll get the Yelp paid for results or whatever. And maybe you want a friend that gives you recommendation, whatever. But there are certain things that are just straight up like a yes or no answer, or like a binary, like on off fact. And when people ask those questions, you're just like, why are you doing this?
Where is this?
Yeah, we get that all the time. You know, I see it all the time on people's Instagrams, ours sometimes, you know, where people tag the location of the restaurant and then people say, where is this? And, you know, and I'm always like, the name is this. If you want the exact location, you can click on the name above the photo.
Maybe people are just not in tune with how Instagram works.
It's entirely possible, but I don't know. You'll see someone post that's like, hey, I'm selling apple pies. I'll have them available on Tuesday. They're going to be $10 each. And you can pick them up at this location. And then the comments like, where can we pick them up? Wait, how much are they? When, you know, and it's just like a list of everything that's already been answered in the post is people like asking that question. Yeah. And then someone going, recipe?
Oh, we're so grumpy.
This is, we're giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
We're so rarely super grumpy. I feel like early on in the podcast, we covered a lot of like ranty kind of just vegan annoyances. And now we've covered them, so we're beyond it, but here we are, baby.
So did you have any other minor annoyances?
No, just life in general, Paul. Let's get to the big one. I know this is probably the one you've been ranting about the most.
Yes. So I'm a part of two larger Facebook groups, and literally in the past 2 weeks there have been a high frequency of people posting something like, oh, I just, especially 2 weeks ago when it just became available, people posting, oh, it's available at this place now, and posting a picture of it. And I kid you not, Andy, this one group, regularly, every single day, there's a new Impossible Whopper post and it gets 200 plus comments. And it's just people arguing back and forth. And it's mostly either the animal testing thing or the cross-contamination. So there are many people whom have the belief that because there may be or is some cross contamination between the Impossible Whopper while it's being cooked and the cow's flesh burgers that are also being cooked, because there may be some contact, we should not eat them.
I think it's basically guaranteed that there is contact.
Yes.
That there is a shared surface.
Yes.
I will say, before you go on your mm-hmm, tangent, mm-hmm. which is the reason we're here, it's interesting to me because I think I keep hearing people say it's cooked in the same fryer as the burgers, or it's cooked on like the same surface, or like the same grill. The same grill is usually what I hear people say. And when I think of grill, I think, I guess, more of like a flat top, which is what you're used to seeing at like diners and like, I assume, McDonald's. Where it's like one big large sheet, and so all the kind of the grease is just sitting there, and you know, or it's like they're throwing them in a deep fryer, I guess, maybe. But the Burger King, their flame broiling thing, it's like a little escalator, or like a little moving sidewalk kind of thing. Conveyor belt is the word I'm looking for. And it's like a grill. Like, that's why you see the grill marks on it. And so, one, it's not like it's sitting in a pool of the grease. Yeah. And I know that this is like besides the point of what like the actual, I feel like people think that they think they're throwing the burger onto this like pool of cow's fat.
Yes.
That's like sitting on a thing. And it's like, one, it's flames. So I assume a lot of it gets burnt off. I'm sure the thing is gross as hell, right?
gross as hell.
In general, like with coagulated, like burnt on greaser, like whatever. Yeah. I'm sure it's not great, but it's also like a moving grill that's constantly having flames applied to it, which would make me think that, one, it's not sitting in a pool of grease. It's touching something that also had a dead cow grilled on it, which is gross, of course. I totally get someone that's just like, I'm not going to eat that because it's gross to me.
Yes.
Totally get that. You know, but it, to me, it's like, it's not, I don't know. It's just not what I think of when I'm like, oh, they're cooking on the same grill. It's this thing that's moving and constantly has super high heat applied to it, you know?
Yes.
Like, for some reason, that's way less gross to me than if they just like, oh, here's a smattering of grease that's already on there from the last burger, and we're going to throw it right on.
Yes. And again, even though we're saying this, if this grosses you out, then don't eat it. We don't like, I don't care if anyone doesn't eat the burger. Like I'm not of the opinion that everyone has to eat this. If this is something that grosses you out, then that's fine. But I think, yes, the general rhetoric, and I just pulled up my favorite Facebook post one of these, and it's just constantly this person who posted frequently in the comments themselves constantly uses the phrase cooked with beef fat grease and in beef juices and in beef fat with beef fat. And it's just like this person is creating this image that they're taking these Impossible Burgers and just like dumping them in buckets of
Oreos with milk.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just, that's not what it is. It's like the yes, there may be some, we don't know exactly how much of the grease gets burned off. We don't know how often these things are getting cleaned, but in terms of like physical contact, the most that's happening is these things are like, the burgers are nudging against each other. And you know who doesn't care about that, Andy? Any animal ever. And yes. Yes, Andy.
I was going to say, how dare you presume to speak on behalf of animals, Paul?
But it's just the idea that there is this moral difference between Burger King employee picks up burger, puts on conveyor belt, takes out of conveyor belt, puts on bun, versus Burger King employee picks up burger, walks 5 feet in a different direction, puts in microwave oven, takes out and puts on bun. The fact that people have such a strong belief that there is a moral difference between those two things is, it's like infuriating to me because it just does not. And what actually makes me upset is that people are putting this forward as if that's something that makes it not vegan, because to me, and please disagree with me, Andy, and please tell me why I'm wrong about this, but like, I don't think that choice between putting it on the conveyor belt or 5 feet away in the microwave oven has any impact on animals at all.
I think right now you're guilty of what that other person did, in that the language you're choosing right now, you're acting like what you just said makes it sound like there's no contact with an animal flesh or grease or whatever. Either way,
I said they might nudge against each other.
Even that is minimizing it. But one, I feel like what you just said is definitely the sound clip for promoting this episode. but so I think that there's like the economic side of veganism, which is like it's a capitalist boycott and you're putting your money where your mouth is, literally all that kind of stuff. And then there's the side of veganism that's like, regardless of if I have any impact on the animals, I'm living out my ethics, and I think it's unethical to consume animals, and that by saying that it's ethically okay for me to eat something that came in contact with this horrific, horrific thing that's happened, that we shouldn't treat that lightly, that we shouldn't treat that casually, that that is a horrific thing. And that is super gross, but it's like horrific. And like, how dare we minimize that by acting like it's just like a, well, that kind of sucks, but whatever, you know? So like, I think that's where people are coming from. Although I think most people are coming from it like, you're eating a little bit of animal and therefore it's not vegan. But I think that there is the side of it that's like, by blowing it off like it's no big deal, that you're minimizing the suffering of animals.
I just don't think I agree with that, though.
I don't think I agree with that either, Paul, but I'm just trying to articulate a response.
I don't know.
I get it, because I think that both ways of looking at veganism are helpful, because I think that the sort of the ethical and just sort of like embodiment of the philosophy of veganism, that gets us through in the cases where, yeah, maybe it doesn't hurt that much. Maybe it doesn't hurt a hen that much to like take a couple of her eggs if you've rescued a chicken from a horrible situation. And, you know, like it, that's what sort of like helps us find some sort of like moral compass and bearing in situations where, yeah, maybe the harm isn't that bad, you know, but it still sort of gives us like this code to live by. And like we've talked about in previous episodes, I don't think that our moral philosophy should be like, is this vegan or not? I think it should be like, veganism aligns with my principles and therefore I practice veganism. But I do think that like both things are important, but I don't know. I guess for me, it's like the benefits of this burger existing vastly outweigh those downsides.
I just feel like it's like, again, if you don't want to eat this, don't eat it. But by people like actively posting about this kind of stuff, I feel like it's setting a bar that is higher than the person posting it can actually reach. It's higher than virtually anyone can reach. Like people posting a lot of these critiques of it, it's like, while yes, they may be gross, and yes, like yes, I don't agree with the testing and all these things, but it's setting this bar that is, if not impossible, certainly impractical for the majority of people living in 2019 in the United States.
Yeah. And I think that sort of, you basically already said this, but that's like the heart of this reason why we're even ranting about this at all, is that I do not begrudge a single person on this planet for trying to live out their ethics to the most, I'm going to say extreme, but you know, I feel like that will come off negatively, but the most extreme degree, to the nth degree, mm-hmm. to like truly live out their ethics, even if to me, I'm like, that's ridiculous or that's silly, you know? And there's like so many examples of that where someone's like, but are the monodiglycerides vegan? And I need to know that and research that and all those things. And I'm saying that generally speaking, not even like Burger King bun wise. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, to me, that is not a concern, you know, but I don't begrudge anyone that does that. But then when it comes into the realm of the people that think it's like a helpful stance to take to poo-poo people who are okay with that, or say you're not vegan enough or you're not vegan at all, I guess I think it's important for us to like a friend of mine used the analogy that like veganism is like a ladder and there's like 10 steps on it or whatever. And the person who's 10 rungs up, it's going to be really hard for them to reach the person on the first rung. But if you're 3, 4, 5 rungs up, that you have much more of an opportunity to reach along and help other people up that ladder. So the like super extreme, I can go live as a nomad in the woods and grow my own food vegan, maybe their personal lack of contribution to the suffering of others, they're living in harmony with nature and like all that stuff. Maybe for that one person that is like the best that they could possibly do for themselves. But I think that you actually do more good when you help to shepherd other people along on that journey. And the person who lives as like the nomad in the woods or whatever, it's not aspirational for a lot of people. And so I think that a lot of us can practice veganism to a very satisfactory degree within today's society in a way that helps others do that, as opposed to those that feel like we're the most extreme and do the most good and then shit on other people because they can't get to that point. Like, I don't find that to be a helpful way to practice activism at all.
And actually, in that analogy, with the ladder analogy, which I think is a great analogy, by the way, I would add two things. I would add one, that I feel like these ladders are infinite, that they're never ending, and that we should constantly be striving to not only help other people achieve higher rungs, but go to higher rungs ourselves. And then I would also argue that that person that's choosing to live in the woods is on a completely separate ladder, and that there are going to be different ladders for different people who are in different situations, because that person going out to live in the woods, it's like, that's not something that it's not something that we could say, oh, everyone should aspire to get this high up to this rung, because that's physically not something that everyone could even do.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I guess I threw that as like an example out there, but I'm even talking about maybe someone that lives like in our society, like someone that's like living in your apartment.
Who's living in my apartment, Andy?
Sadly, not a cute tiny dog.
I know.
Oh, you know, but someone that's even like doing something that like everybody could do, like lives in an apartment building or something, but still practices veganism in a way that is much more. And again, I hate using these words. I feel like they're not accurate descriptors, but more strict, more stringent, more extreme, more radical than other people. Like even people that do that, which is not an argument to say, don't try to live out your values to their logical conclusion in their most extreme or whatever. But it's sort of how you interact with other people that you're trying to show the way, or trying to be a good example, or just trying to be helpful and compassionate. I don't know. I guess that's like what I'm trying to say, because I agree that the person that's on the path to nomad life in the woods is probably a different ladder than the average person. But I think that there are a lot of people that think that the nomad is the end of one ladder and we're all on one ladder, yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, I think that was a good analogy though. I liked that.
Thanks. I didn't think of it myself.
Is there anything else you wanted to say, Andy?
How long have we been going for?
46 minutes.
Damn. All right. I knew we could talk on this one. No, I think that's it. That's all the stuff that I wrote down.
Can I just say one more thing that irked me?
Sure.
There were comments that people were saying, I don't like eating the Impossible Whopper. I need to get it microwaved because I can taste it when it's been cooked in the conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I don't believe that someone could physically taste a difference. That they were saying, no, I'm sorry. They were saying they could taste the animal product in the Impossible Whopper from being in the conveyor belt.
You know, I was actually thinking earlier today that whenever it is the next time that I get it, that I'm going to ask for them to microwave it just to see.
Yeah.
I will say that you'll know if it's been microwaved or not. Like some people were like, how can I trust them to microwave it? It's like, well, if there are grill marks on it, it was not microwaved.
Yeah. But I mean, this person was not saying, I know the difference between it being grilled and being microwaved. They were saying
they could taste the animal.
They can taste the animal.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
I was like, unless you have superhuman taste buds, I don't think you could taste the burger nudging against another burger.
I mean, I don't know. I guess we can do our little microwave taste test and then see if we can.
But I feel like that's just going to taste significantly worse anyways.
Yeah.
Maybe not significantly.
Crappy ass microwaved burger. I don't know. Maybe I'm so curious to try it now. But
also, for all those people out there who would like to partake in the Impossible Whopper, apparently, I don't have the exact things on me at this moment, but apparently you can just order a double cheeseburger and then order a double burger and then sub Impossible Whopper, and it comes out to be like cheaper than getting a single Impossible Whopper itself. There are some, look it up online. There are some combinations.
Are you talking about the post I sent to you?
I think so. I saw a few other ones too about people saying these like little hacks to get it cheaper.
Yeah. I have a friend who got a double cheeseburger off the value menu, obviously removed the cheese, made sure the bun was vegan, and then asked for them to sub out them. And it was $3 total, which, I don't know. Cause I've seen varying reports of it's an extra dollar to swap out the patty. It's $2.50, it's $2, whatever. Maybe it just varies by location, but either way, it's I guess it sucks that the Impossible Whopper is more expensive than a cow's flesh Whopper. Like, I don't like that at all. Hopefully it's a negligible enough amount that most people will be like, yeah, I'll try this thing, and if they like it, like, because Paul, I'm a kind of the mindset that, you know, there's a lot of people that like adopt veganism and are very passionate about it. And I think there's a lot of people that would do the quote unquote right thing. I hate to say anything Burger King's doing is like the right thing or whatever, but, you know, like would do the better thing if it was just easy for them. And so I think that there are a lot of people that are like, yeah, I don't like what happens to these animals, but, you know, I don't know. It's just too much for me to think about. It's too much for me to do anything about it. But if they're just going to Burger King anyway, like, why not swap out the patty if it's like a dollar more or whatever to, you know, ease your conscience or something?
Yeah, I imagine,
help the environment.
I imagine all these little Burger King hacks will probably be taken care of by Burger King relatively quickly. If they're like, oh yeah, people are finding a way to get twice as much product for half as much money, they're probably going to figure out how to nix that. But I think one of the best parts about Burger King having this is that it's, even though it's $1 or $1.50 more expensive, it's still what, $5.99 for the Impossible Whopper, which is $15 less than what some other places are charging for the Impossible Whopper.
It's like unfathomably cheap given what we've been trained to expect the Impossible to cost.
Yeah. And that in itself, I feel like the accessibility of that is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, obviously there are some people that can probably just barely afford their Burger King and that's going to be too much. But I think, I was reading a study that actually said that, like, you know, because we tend to think of like fast food is like the option for like really poor people. But actually your consumption of fast food goes up like the richer you are, like the more wealthy you are. I assume there's probably a tipping point where you're like wealthy enough that you probably aren't eating fast food at all unless you're someone like
Ronald McDonald. The CEO of McDonald's.
I was going to say like Donald Trump or whatever. I don't want to inflate his self-worth or value or anything like that. But, you know, there are some people that just like it. And that's like what they know because they are children or something. I don't know.
Didn't Donald Trump get fast food for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know. He also eats all the time.
What a piece of shit.
What a turd. Anyway, fuck that guy. You know, but so it is something that I bet like a lot of people probably can afford that extra buck or two. So, yeah, but even to get like a full meal for like $8 with fries and a drink when I'm used to paying double that just for like a burger, you know, it's big.
Yeah.
Freaking big ass burger. So big ass burger. Anyway, enough of us praising the Impossible Burger. Those are our thoughts.
Yeah.
You can send up.
Oh. I was going to say the same thing.
So those are our thoughts. You can send us your thoughts by leaving a comment below, assuming you're listening to this through the Patreon. If not, you know, send us a message, send us an email to thebeardvegans@gmail.com. I'm sure everyone's got thoughts on this.
Yes.
Everyone does. And I will continue to read literally every comment on every thread about this and become enraged because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yes. I do apologize. Like, Andy and I, as always, I feel like it's worth mentioning, like, we don't believe that we are the all-knowing about all this stuff, and we very well could be wrong about these things, and there very well could be other reasons why we shouldn't be eating this as well. So let us know what you think. TheBeardedVegans@gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, it's almost not even about Burger King and this burger, the things that are annoying me, as much as it is just sort of the general way the conversations have unfolded in a way that's incredibly frustrating and uninformed.
And I feel like an unwillingness to partake in any sort of nuance.
Yeah.
Like, Andy, I've commented on quite a few of these posts at this point when we're recording this, and And again, this is not to say that only people that have my viewpoint are talking about nuance and everyone with the other viewpoint isn't talking about nuance, because that's not the case. But I have been met with, like, someone will make some argument, I'll make another argument, they'll make an argument, I'll make a counter argument, and they'll just say like, well, that's the way I feel. And then like that, because, and it's like, it's just, or something like that, where it just kind of, it's like just cutting off a discussion and any sort of discourse. So I don't know. All right. We're done talking about this.
All right. Thank you for your support on Patreon. Yes. We love you all.
We do love you.
Hopefully you enjoyed this.
Hopefully it wasn't just us being grumpy for almost an hour at this point.
I have a feeling some people they're here for that. All right, Paul. Well, I feel like even though the vegan world is divided on the Whopper, I think there's 100% consensus that everyone loves to hear you say the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.
Unless they don't love it because it means the episode's over and they want more.
Aw. Bye-bye.
Whatever the next company is.
The Unbelievable Burger.
Exactly. The truly... I have no joke here, Paul. You've bested me. You know, but-